KMOX's Megan Lynch is mapping the geospatial sector.
Last week, we learned a St. Louis resident is the first person in Missouri to contract bird flu. It's an unusual case and just the latest infectious disease on the radar. I spoke with Enbal Shahram, a professor in public health at the College for Public Health and Social Justice at St. Louis University, about the challenge of tracking these types of diseases and alerting the public.
I think we've seen a lot of reports of infectious diseases in the last several months around the world. So we all now have a baseline acceptance of COVID. On some level. So we're living through COVID infections and seeing that people are being infected at higher rates at times and lower rates at other times. And so we're seeing that ebb and flow. And then the other pieces of that are also what are the other emerging infectious diseases that we're constantly thinking about or just kind of coming onto the radar and off the radar. So Mpox or monkeypox that we had renamed a couple years ago, that isn't also has an had increased rates, so much so that the World Health Organization has declared it a public health emergency. So the concern is it's not going to only stay in one location, and where is it going to affect the rest of the population, the rest of the world? So there are cases all over the world. What are we doing to prevent and predict and prevent those infections? I think that's alarming and something I think about often. I think and that is related to also vaccine access. The vaccines aren't 100% effective, but they are better than what we currently have is the access to in some communities around the world. The other things that we are seeing on the news are climate related also. So thinking about how the climate shifts, we are just wrapping up a tick-borne surveillance study that we conducted this summer with colleagues at University of Missouri in Columbia, and really exploring what kind of ticks are happening where. And then they're going to examine their microbiomes and do a whole bunch of other research. But the key for me is to translate how do we communicate what types of ticks are where and how do we tell providers that they might see different type of tick-borne illnesses in their patient populations. So the same example also exists with mosquito-borne illnesses. We have the triple E infections that are happening in the Northeast that the alerts had gone out in Massachusetts, for example, to say stay inside at dusk and through the night. And so that is alarming, right? So what kind of these are shifts that are happening, and most of it is climate related because the vectors or the insects and infections are moving, and where are they going? And then the last I will just highlight is we just had a bird flu infection reported in St. Louis City in Missouri, and it's the first human case, and we hadn't expected it, right? So this person doesn't work on a farm, and they don't have exposure in ways that we expected. So not working on, we have seen it on cattle farms, and we've definitely seen it on chicken farms, but not in humans that don't work with either. So that's alarming. But not to cause panic, but there's a demand for better data and better research to be conducted.
Let's talk about that data, because that was such a big part of discussions about COVID, is tracking that data. Where were we getting that data? When you look at the information that you need, what resources do you have at your disposal right now? Do you have enough data?
So that's a great question. I need to state this as clearly as possible. I started my career longer than I would like to disclose, but recognizing that in the last 20 years we have grown and we are now drowning in data. The problem is we don't have the workforce to constantly assess and analyze those data, and AI is not as smart as we need it to be. So we still need to train these systems to identify where and what patterns are being recognized. But more importantly, we are not using the sensors that are available to us. So thinking about how are we collecting different vectors for these emerging infectious diseases? How are we tracking where they are, surveilling where they are, how often, how many of them are there? You know, seeing that really the epidemiology of infection through animals, insects, that one health model is not consistently done in a way that translates into human risk or assessing human risk. So I do think we have most of the data that we could have, or we could collect it in a way that on purpose, right? And I don't think we purposefully have been using our sensors, because they have to be, our sensors need to be adaptable. Identifying mosquito swarms is one thing through satellite imagery, but the other pieces are, how do I just find that out? And we have our state health departments, we have our Department of Natural Resources, Parks and Recreation, they're all collecting different types of these data. Now, how are they reporting that back, and are they collecting in the ways that we need them to, and changing as the climate changes?
And I guess being able to put all of that together in a meaningful way, so you're not misinterpreting what you're seeing?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the challenges we have with drowning in data. We're not, we need a system that purposefully looks at this non-traditional data source for health, because we look at infection rates through our health departments and we look at the healthcare systems, but we don't really look at this non-traditional data and apply it to where the risk would be, and then say, hey, do we actually have cases in these healthcare systems?
For people walking around out there, I think we see these stories and we see these cases and we think, well, am I going to be able to hike in the woods this year, or do I have to be careful going out at dusk? I don't want to get bitten by a mosquito. How do we put it in context so that we can still live our lives, be cautious but not be fearful?
No, I think that's such an urgent demand for our communities need to have those data, right? That information is key. If we can determine where you are, what you're doing, I want you to get a push notification that says, hey, there's a high risk of these types of mosquito-borne illnesses here. Make sure you put DEET on, or don't go on at night, or, you know, those types of messages are really important. When we had Zika, when it became more less of a nuisance infection, but became more of an alarming, really causing a lot of morbidity and mortality, we had those messages around making sure you put DEET-based repellent, mosquito repellent, and then we also made sure that during the day, right? So thinking about that daytime versus nighttime, understanding the infection is really important, right? So understanding how we translate what we know about the insect or the animal or the how the infection works, where it works, and so then telling the community, don't worry here, don't worry there. One of the things I was reminded, I knew this already, but I forgot to connect it when we were doing our tick surveillance study. So thinking about if deer are in your community, you're going to have more ticks that are tick-borne illnesses. And so then you think, oh, right, because they need to they're carried on deer. And that's where your pets get it, whether your dogs or your cats are outside. And then they bring it inside too, if you're not even going hiking, right? So it's a lot. But you have to think about, like, what are the avenues where infection could come into my house or me go out into it? So I would consider where you are and think about the messages that exist around your public health departments, and even Department of Natural Resources usually have those signs up too.
You talk about the massive amounts of data and not having the people to really go through that data sometimes. What about for the public? We are getting information, like, we're inundated with it. I mean, even as reporters, we're inundated with it. How do we sift through that? And maybe what are some key questions we need to ask when we hear, for example, about a case of avian flu in St. Louis?
Right. I think that's a wonderful question. So, A, it should create alert, not alarm, but just an alert of how is it being transmitted? What do we know about it being transmitted? What can we find out about that case, right? So the City Health Department Director of Public Health has really stated, here's one case. I'm going to tell you all of the information. She's been very forthcoming with all the information, which is really helpful, I think. I think thinking about, we are all inundated with stories, whether it's through all sorts of avenues. And so thinking about the source of those stories, that's always the key. And then there's a bias in any reporting because we're all biased. And so thinking about what is that that they're telling me, and is that a decent argument, right? That's a lot of critical thinking that, because we're inundated, it's hard to sift through, is this the critical thinking I should be expressing here, or should I just accept this story?
That is Enval Shacham, professor in public health at the College for Public Health and Social Justice at St. Louis University. We'll